Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, are you ready for the weekend? Oh, it's going to be just absolutely wonderful. I know here in the Pacific Northwest, we're practically giddy. The sunshine has come out. Yahoo! I know you hear me complaining about the rain and the gray. Well, I don't complain too much, but it's been a bit much this year. Well, we've got a great guest that's going to chase away the cloud. She's also in the Pacific Northwest because we're going to be talking about one of the favorite topics on the Donna Sebo Show. What is that? That is paranormal phenomena. It's a subject that is of interest to almost everybody. Why? Because it is out of the ordinary. Most people will have very unique experiences, and Mary is one of those individuals that has had her own and decided to put two books together called Everyday Telepathy, Clairvoyance, and Precognition. The other book is called Soul Sight. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you as a guest. You've been involved in all kinds of things through the years. You've been sort of an investigator at times because of your own personal experiences, but you became a staff member for the Seth Network International. And this is a group, I'm sure many of my listeners have heard of the Seth books, but this is an organization that really likes to delve into what you'd call the scientific side of how the mind works. Also, you have been involved with a number of other people, a number of other publications. You've had a background, though, where you've been a product manager for a publishing company. You've been a journalist. You've been in marketing. So you've had quite an eclectic background. Let's take on your first book, Soul Sight. Now, am I right? Was that the first one, or did Everyday Telepathy come first?
No, Soul Sight was first. Uh-huh.
All right. Now, with this, I always am interested in why you felt you wanted to take the time, of course, with your journalist background, it doesn't surprise me, why you decided you needed to put your information about your experience into a book.
Well, primarily it was because I was frustrated at what I was reading in many of the books, the literature on the subject matter. They weren't telling me what I wanted to hear and what they were experiencing. And so I wanted to let people know how this happens on occasion and to show them that it's a completely natural phenomenon as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. That's something that in the work of mine that I've been involved with for so many years, the challenge has been to get past the fear barrier. That is the biggest challenge. And I think that your material takes a nice step towards helping people to feel more comfortable. Let's start off with something right at the very beginning that you have, one of your first quotes, and it comes from the Seth books. It was session number 539. In the same way in the midst of life you dwell with so-called ghosts and apparitions, and for that matter you yourself, appear as apparitions to others, particularly when you send strong thought forms of yourself from the sleep state or even when you unconsciously travel out of your body. To the best of my awareness, all of us project out of our bodies, especially when we go to sleep at night. The astral projection is something that all people experience, but they may not be aware that they're experiencing it, and especially when they're going through dream time. But you, when was your very first experience that you had that you would describe as paranormal? What was the very first experience you have?
That one was actually in 1972, and I had a what I call a spontaneous out of body. I was lying in bed one night and wasn't asleep yet, and all of a sudden saw an image of somebody who shouldn't be beside my bed standing there. And it was an Indian brave, which at the time I thought, well, this is really weird. And I didn't know anything about metaphysics at that time. I had been raised Roman Catholic, and this just spontaneously happened to me. So after that happened, as I said, I didn't know whether it was a ghost or what it was, and so I started investigating metaphysics at that time. And what happened after that, I started to have I had a couple of more spontaneous experiences several years apart. And then what happened for me is that my brother passed away at a young age, and I became rather, you know, frustrated and angry about that, and decided to find out for myself whether consciousness survived death. And the way that I knew how to do that from my studies was to try and consciously project out of body. And so that's what I taught myself to do.
Let's step back a little bit in time, and after you'd had this experience in seeing this Indian brave, your mother was especially aghast at the experience. As many times people who have never had an experience like this, they'll look at someone, especially when you're younger, and go, right, I think you're ready for the Nutt Institute here. And they just brush it off and they ignore you. And so typically what we do, we just put it inside of ourselves and we just hold it in memory because it's so exceptional experience, but we don't know what to do with it. But you had a member of your family, your father-in-law, Hal, that when he became aware of your experiences, he was involved in astrology, and I just loved this man. I mean, when you were talking about him in your book, I thought, this is a man that would just be a delight to sit down and have a conversation with. Tell us about him and his influence on you.
It was actually, you know, fascinating because I happened to marry into this family where he was an astrologer, and I really wasn't that aware of astrology either at that time because I was raised Roman Catholic. And so we met and were actually staying with them for a while until we found our own apartment after moving from Los Angeles to New Mexico. And he decided to do a chart, astrology chart on me, a natal chart. And so he went ahead and did a very in-depth one, and it was actually quite accurate. I was really, you know, amazed, quite frankly, at how accurate he turned out to be. But so that was what, that was another part. That was another introduction to me into this wonderful, magical, strange world that we live in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, you eventually married a man named Bob, and the story, there's no such thing as coincidences, and yet you had never resolved the issue with who this Indian was that had appeared to you.
That's correct, yeah.
And you married a man by the name of Bob who had been previously married to a woman, Dell, and she died. Mm-hmm. And you were going through some old photographs. Tell us what happened. This is really intriguing because this is a totally unassociated link that connects with you. Tell that story.
Right. We, divorced my first husband and then met my second and remarried. And when we were putting together our households, we were going through a bunch of his first wife's things that he still had. She had written a book, actually. She was a Dakota Sioux Indian, and her great-grandfather she had written a book about her great-grandfather called The Good Day to Die. And when we were going through her thing, she was an Indian advocate of and got into politics quite a bit about Indian issues at that time. And she had a collection of photographs of Indians that she knew or that she had picked up somewhere along the line. And when we were going through these items, these photographs, there was the picture of the Indian I had seen beside my bed, what was it, 8 years before I had that picture in my hand. You know, so I was totally, completely blown away. This was a man, you know, it was nothing I had heard of, that you could actually see the future that explicitly, 8 years into the future, that explicitly. And that's what happened with me. It was the exact photograph, exact person of this guy that I had seen standing beside my bed. And it was interesting because while I was having the experience in 1972, I could see he had no flesh tones when he was standing there. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there was a background of desert rock behind him and where he was standing. And I could never figure that out, he looked real standing there. But as it turned out, the reason he looked real, because I was seeing I was seeing the reality of when that picture was taken, or I was seeing the picture itself. And I don't know, I can't quite honestly say which I was seeing at the time in 1972, but I know that it was the exact picture that I saw in 8 years later, whatever that is.
Now,
so,
Bob's previous wife, Del,
mm-hmm.
She had some very specific experiences, and you write about them in the book, which I think is wonderful, because
yes.
Obviously there is a harmonic that existed for you to connect with Bob. You ended up having a beautiful child, but Del recalled and told her husband that when she was a little girl, she had had a very special experience. She had just moved to Nicaragua, according to your book, to live with
mm-hmm.
some relatives, and she was so cold. She was in bed, and she didn't have enough covering, and she was very young, and she just did not. She was a little girl. She didn't want to ask for anything. She was in a strange place, and everything was new to her, and she said her dead mother came to her and covered her with a blanket.
That's correct, yeah.
And she was then warm.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an aspect of what is often titled materialization. But she
right.
retained that memory, that her mother came to her, covered her with a blanket, and the next morning when she awakened, her relatives were astonished to find that she actually still had that blanket.
Yes, yeah, they were, they checked everybody on the estate and asked them if they had given her that blanket, if somebody had gone to her room and covered her up with a blanket, and nobody had. And
mm-hmm.
so what do you do? You know, there it was, a definite materialization, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your husband had experiences of his own. I mean, how had this changed your life? Now, here you are. You obviously were born with mediumship talents, and you are in a marriage. You have a baby that recognizes spirits when he's nursing at your breast, and you're aware of the presence of people, and you still haven't had very much in the way of interaction with people of like talent. What would you say to someone who's listening to the show today that's going through this kind of experience, or maybe has had it, maybe has held it within themselves and go, gee, what do I do with it? I must be weird. There's something wrong with me. If I saw a psychiatrist, they'd say I needed to be on medication because I'm hallucinating, and they're not hallucinating. What would you say to them?
I'd tell them to write down everything that happens to them. I would tell them to read as much material as they can about what they think is happening to them. And, you know, to find a support system to help them if they need it through just even the reading. If they want to go and speak to a counselor, go ahead. But for the most part, investigate. Studies have been conducted now that prove that this stuff does actually happen. And so there is material out there to help people. Back when I was doing it, there wasn't very much material. And so
mm-hmm.
I was curious. And it was like, I want answers. I want to know what is going on here. And so I investigated, both personally and through literature, et cetera. So that's what I would tell them, frankly. It's that they shouldn't be afraid. These are normal experiences. And what they'll find, the more that they experience, is that they're natural, and the more that they learn about other people experiencing the same things. These are natural abilities of consciousness. And unfortunately, we do live in a society that doesn't recognize that these things are really very, very natural and common. But there is material out there that will help them understand what's going on.
I agree with you, and I think education is a key. And you can have all of the scientific jargon you want, but it's those of us that have had experiences that are able to communicate, hopefully, well. Lots of times people can't. They don't know how to use the language to communicate an understanding. But if you do have the capacity, just as you have done in your books, then it enables someone to really recognize that it's okay to develop them, and they are a tool. They're something that's meant to help you. For example, you had a dream about a scorpion, and as it turned out, it was as if your subconscious had done a scan and said, pay attention, you're going to have scorpions in your house, and by golly, you found a window that had not been sealed properly. Where were you living at the time?
At the time, we were living in Texas, in El Paso, Texas. You know, right in high desert country. And there were a lot of scorpions and tarantulas and things like that. And we were living actually on the outskirts of town, basically, kind of up in a canyon. And so there was a lot of natural vegetation around us and rocks and things like that. And there were a lot of wild critters out there, you know, that would occasionally get into a house or something like that. And so, but yes, it did definitely warn me. And I had the dream and walked out, got up, you know, had written down the dream, got up, walked out of the bedroom, and there was the scorpion up by the window where the hole was that we wasn't aware was there, because it was up at the top of a two-story window, and it was great because, you know, it was warning me that, you know, we needed to fix that hole. And and this is what I'm finding, is that, you know, the universe is on our side. Our subconscious is on our side, and it tries to help you. It tries to help you through the dream state. It tries to help you through, I'm sure we're going to talk about my other book, telepathy and clairvoyance and precognition and things like that. But it really does try and help you to live a better life. And a safe life. And if we pay attention to that, then we only benefit and do live a happier, more joyful life.
I agree. Now, as you said, we're going to be talking. Now, the first book is Soul Sight, Projections of Consciousness and Out-of-Body Epiphanies. The second book is Everyday Telepathy, Clairvoyance, and Precognition. And you start your book off talking about shifting paradigms. Now, you had personal experiences that caused the shift. It's been my observation, usually, even if someone comes in with abilities, there usually has to be that particular point of experience that creates the curiosity, that creates maybe even a necessity, because it's not fitting into the linear alignment of what we are indoctrinated to expect. And yeah, I just love all of the new movies and things that have come out, like about the special foursome, and they all have these special powers. And there's been animated movies that come out with a family that's got all kinds of special abilities. This is wonderful, because what it's saying is, if you are unique, if you have something that's different, that doesn't fit into the boxed description of whatever is supposed to be boxed, it's okay. There is a place for you. And I think that when it comes to the paranormal, I don't care about the poo-pooers. I love it, because there's a lot of things that you cannot replicate in a lab. And personal experience is personal experience. Now, you talked about some studies in 2007 at the University of Virginia. in their psychiatric facility. Tell us about that.
Yes, in that study in particular, they actually found out that the brain actually filters information, but it is not the generator of consciousness. In other words, consciousness is something totally different. It's totally separate from the brain. And so that's, you know, something that is wonderful to know, because for so many years, we have been told that the brain basically generates consciousness, and it's, but that's not the case.
You also have a fascinating story about an author, Petru Popescu, and I may not have pronounced his last name correctly. I hope I didn't butcher it too badly. But he related in a publication about a National Geographic photographer and writer, Lauren McIntyre, that discovered a particular Amazonian tribe. And this, to me, is not unlike the Aboriginals of Australia. Tell us about the Mayaruna.
Right. That was just totally, totally fascinating. He actually was traveling for National Geographic, doing some photography work for him, Lauren McIntyre. And while he was in the Amazon, he came across a tribe there that was not very well known and was actually rather secretive. But he did, and he lived with them for, oh gosh, I think it was several months at least. And he couldn't understand at first what was going on, because he was receiving thoughts in his mind from these people. And he, you know, it was very difficult for him to understand it. And finally, it dawned on him that they were communicating with him telepathically. And so he would hold conversations with them telepathically. And the tribe itself did this on a constant basis. They were telepathic. And that's how they communicated most often.
In many cultures, those that have been described as primitive, which I always chuckle whenever they say that, it is not unusual for this, and I have not found in my exploration and readings of many cultures that this has been denied. In fact, in many Native American cultures, it's important to discuss these things because it happens. I'll give you an example. In Alaska, I talked with a client who came from a village where the women were trained to become telepathic. The reason they needed to be telepathic and also do remote viewing was so that they could keep tabs on their sons, their uncles, their husbands that were going to go out hunting. They didn't have cell phones, and they didn't have satellite GPS. And if they tracked them, if something went wrong, they'd then go to their village shaman and tell them what was going on, and they'd be able to locate them.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. But this was a tribe. And she said, my mother would not let me learn this because she said, you must learn how to be a Westerner. This is what is the world's going to be, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And this was a mature woman that had a PhD and I don't know how many things. Brilliant woman. And she said, I deeply regret that this was denied to me because of fear. And I think that the more we can be supportive of this, I mean, who hasn't had an experience of, oh, I should call somebody? Or, gee whiz, hi, June, you just called. Oh, you've been on my mind for the past week. Isn't that amazing? You've been on mine. I mean, this is going on all the time.
It is, definitely. No doubt about it. And we do. We just take it for granted and call it coincidence. And it's not. It's telepathy in action. Yeah.
You have a section about what we're just discussing, where you said your ears are burning. And I've had people say to me, we've been talking about your ears burning. And, of course, you take that lightly. But the truth is, there is that physiological response sometimes, the sensation that we will actually get physically.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that is something I've known people in the medical profession, nurses, or even counselors, that have such an empathy, a sympathetic empathy with someone, they're experiencing things and they go, gee, this isn't normal for me. What is it? And then they find out maybe 3 minutes later someone is having, you know, a vertigo attack or there's something going on, they go, isn't that interesting? I just had that affect me.
Right. They're experiencing the symptoms of the other person. Yes, yeah. And as you know, in my book, Everyday Telepathy, Clairvoyance, and Precognition, I mentioned several experiences I had with that as well. Uh-huh.
Now, one of the things that you make a comment about is censoring your thoughts. Tell us why that's necessary, and how did you discover that you needed to be in charge of that?
Well, for me, mental noise, all the noise, all the thoughts that are going through our mind can interfere with your receipt of telepathic communications and clairvoyance and precognition. And so what I suggest people do is that they become an observer of their thoughts, you know, not necessarily to stop them, but to watch what is going through their minds, because in all that is going through their minds is telepathy and clairvoyance and precognition, knowledge of future events that are going to happen. And so people need to be more conscious of what is actually in their mind. This is an automatic thing that we experience all the time, but people don't pay attention to it. You have to pay attention to what's going on and through your mind.
That's what I like to describe as conscious mindfulness.
Right.
Really,
yeah.
Being mindful, being aware. Because the mind is just like a computer. It's like a search engine. It's just going and buzzing and tapping into this and tapping into that. And lots of times, you can end up with so much noise in your thinking, and you have to realize somewhere along the line, you have to tune it out.
Yeah.
You have to just tune it out. You have to say, sorry, I'm not going into that channel. You really have to pay attention. It's really quite interesting. Esther Hicks had a tremendous influence on you. Of course, Esther Hicks was associated with The Secret, and she has been involved with metaphysics for years. And you talk about her as a modern channeler. And tell us a little bit about Esther and why she had such an impact on you.
Yes, I actually met Esther, and she actually channeled for me at one point. In one of my jobs, I met her and actually interviewed her and wrote an article about her several times, actually. And she was a lovely, lovely woman. She channeled what she calls Abraham, which is a group of personalities that are associated with what she calls infinite intelligence. And she's written, oh gosh, I'm not sure how many books, but quite a few. I think one of them is called Ask and It Is Given. And she has a lot of good techniques and good advice on how to deal with life. And one of them is that we are connected to all that is and to creation, and are basically co-creators of our life because of that. And that if we only ask for what we really, really want, it will be given to us.
Well, your material is quite interesting, and I know that we're getting close to finishing our discussion here. And there's a lot more in Mary's material that I think you would find very interesting, because her experiences are quite eclectic. And I think that variety is important for anyone to be aware of. And I think if you have an awareness of your own intuitive prospects, Mary's books might give you a different paradigm to look at. And I think that's important. You should always be open and receptive to other people's experiences, because they may actually create a staircase of opportunity for you that you can experiment with yourself, and you can move ahead with the development of your own intuitive processes. Remember, this belongs to everybody. Now, Mary, you have a website. It's maryebarton.com. That's B-A-R-T-O-N, Mary E like Ellen Barton.com. And what will people find when they go to your website, Mary?
They'll find, my books. Both my books are available online. And they will also find announcements about workshops and classes I may be holding. They can also contact me through my website. There's avenues to do that through there if they are interested in attending a workshop or class on how to lucid dream or develop their psychic abilities. And also, I'm and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Don, I'm also a journalist for the Religion and Spirituality Examiner.com, and I interview authors as you do, only I write about it for the Internet. And so there are many columns there with best-selling authors, articles that I've talked to them, and so they might find that interesting as well.
Well, that's wonderful. Mary Barton? Soul Sight, and also Everyday Telepathy, Clairvoyance, and Precognition. If this is of interest to you, you might want to look into these books. Also go to her website, which is maryebarton.com. Mary, it's been a delight having you on the show. Thank you so much for your publications. I think you're doing everybody a great service, and I think when more of us can speak out like this and talk about our experiences in a very down-to-earth way as you've done, I think it benefits all of the readers.
Thank you, Donna. It's been a pleasure being here.
This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget, maryebarton.com, Soul Sight, and Everyday Telepathy, Clairvoyance, and Precognition. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then just relax. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from. And then I'll be happy to share with you what I perceive about you. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything or anyone that you like, and we'll just take it from there. Again, 888-815-9756. Now, this Sunday, I'm going to be on the air with a wonderful couple, Susan and Bert. They are part of the LATalkRadio.com group, and we're going to be on Bipolar Radio. They have a weekly show on Sundays. And you're welcome to listen in to Bipolar Nation Radio on Facebook if you like. Callers will be welcome to call in during the hour. The telephone number for call-ins is 323-203-0815. Also, on Sunday, June 27th, I'm going to be doing, oh, by the way, that's 11 o'clock Pacific time. Excuse me, 11 o'clock Pacific time for Susan and Bert. Sunday, the 27th, I am going to be on with Denise Barnes. Her talk show is titled Differences. She's located in Nashville, Tennessee, and the website is www.wvol1470.com, WVOL 1470.com. This is the station in Nashville that Oprah Winfrey started on so many years ago, and I have the opportunity to be a part of that little bit of experience with Denise Barnes. So those are two shows coming up on the next two Sundays. I invite you to join me. We've got a lot of special things that are going to be evolving, and as I get all of the schedules nailed down, I'll be sure to let you know. Also, you can go into my website, check out my email newsletter, because all of the links are in the newsletter. So you can go in to this month, June, and you can check out the links and just download them and pop them into your computer if you so desire. So that's what's coming up there. Again, give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Catherine Otero has a beautiful poem. I have this exquisite picture of a beautiful lake with the most awesome sunrise, and I just think it's incredible. It's like what you would expect in a Norman Rockwell painting. It's just absolutely wonderful. It depicts an area of country that very few of us have a chance to see many times. It reminds me of certain areas of Alaska. It reminds me of areas in the Great Lakes. I mean, it's just wonderful, very serene. And she has this beautiful poem that goes along with it, and this is how it reads. A rainbow-tinted dawn, a lush green forest, kite trails riding the wind of a summer's day. These are the scenes that steal our hearts away. Catherine Otero. Oh, it's so true. You know, when I was a little girl, I can remember traveling with my family across country by automobile, and it was really rough going because the automobiles at the time, and I'm not going to say my age, but anyway, at the time, air conditioning was there, but it didn't really work very well. So when you went across areas of country like the desert, you go through the Southwest, you go through Oklahoma and Texas, trust me, you wanted to leave early, early in the morning. Even in today's world, it's a good thing to do. You drive during the night so that you don't experience the highs of the heat, because that's the intelligent thing to do. And that's what we would do. And it was absolutely magnificently gorgeous when you'd go through the desert and you're riding along on the highway and here comes the sunrise and these tremendous, powerful colors would come up right in front of you. I would just hold my breath sometimes because it was this kaleidoscope of beauty that it never was the same. It was always different. And, of course, it depended on, you know, if there were clouds in the sky, and many times there weren't any, and the temperatures and all of this. But it's really something special. And maybe that's one of the reasons I like being a morning person. I like getting up early. There is that magic. There is a magic when you can watch the world come alive with light. It's just absolutely awesome. Okay, and 888-815-9756 if you'd like to call in and chat with me. Let me tell you about who we've got on next week. On Monday, we're going to be talking about Tyler and his Solvomatic machine. Jennifer Buoni is going to be my guest. Now, this is so well done. This is a book I was talking about to one of my neighbors who has a little girl about 8 years of age. The thoughtfulness that goes behind this story really encourages entrepreneurship with a child. Well, this little girl in our neighborhood, before 9 o'clock in the morning, is sitting out on the corner of the home that she lives in, and she's got signs, lemonade, 25 cents a glass. And I didn't see any lemonade, and I didn't see a stand, but I looked around the corner that she was sitting at, and there was her little lemonade stand. You ever remember doing something like that? Well, that's the beginning of entrepreneurship. I've done it. I knew a lot of kids that did it. We did so many different things. Well, this is a book about teaching children how to become entrepreneurs and how to be personally responsible. Then we're going to talk to Dr. Richard Baird on Tuesday about the happiness genes. Ah, yes, they exist. You don't believe it? Let me tell you, you're not going to want to miss this interview. Then we're going to talk about the alpha lipoic breakthrough. Have you ever heard of the nutrient ALA? Well, Dr. Berkson is a medical doctor that has worked with this nutrient and has saved lives because of it. If you've known of anyone that's had a liver dysfunction, you're going to want to know about Dr. Berkson. And then, are you ready for college? Do you have a child in your home that you're looking at putting through college? Or maybe there are some thoughts that you want to go back to college. You're thinking about this. Well, Bob Newman is going to be giving us some insights, and believe me, we need all the help we can get. College education anymore is absolutely unreal in pricing. And then a long-time friend of mine, an associate, his name is Bill Nolan. Now, Bill Nolan is an award-winning writer. This man is into science fiction. He does all kinds of stories. And we're going to be talking about his book, The Bleeding Edge. Now, this is very unusual material for me to review, but I will tell you what. Bill is a fascinating person. He wrote the original Logan's Run, which is a classic movie. It's a cult movie, actually. And he has got a comic book series out about it. I mean, there are so many things this man has been involved with. I'll give you all the numbers about what he's accomplished, etc., when we do the interview. But we've got a real unique, power-packed week, and I invite you to join me because I know you will have a most enjoyable time, and be sure and tell your friends about it as well. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like a chat, 888-815-9756. Cell phone bills. Oh, my goodness. Boy, I'll tell you, I have heard parents talk about cell phone bills, all kinds of costs and expenses until they've gotten to a point where they've just said, this is what we're going to do. You're only going to have so much that you can use a month, and we'll set it up XYZ way because the bills go through the ceiling. Well, do you know that we as Americans on average pay $325 more than we need to pay on our cell phone bills each year? Now, we can slash some of those costs, and here are four suggestions if you're interested in slashing those cell phone prices that, as far as I'm concerned, many times are just so outrageous. It's unbelievable. No clue to what the universal conductivity charge on your bill is for? Well, don't feel badly. You're not the only one that doesn't know. There are mystery fees. That's right, mystery fees. Now, you can negotiate them. The conductivity fee is not required by law and actually goes to a fund that ensures phone service to all households. So you can call the customer service department, check your bill first, of course, see if that is on that, a connectivity charge, and find out if it can be eliminated or reduced. I mean, I don't know what they're going to tell you, so just be aware of that. Also, you may need to set some limits on your minutes. Then lots of times we get concerned that we're going to be using our phone more than we actually do. Now, there's a recent survey that was done by BillShrink.com that found only 12% of customers actually benefit from an unlimited plan. The majority of cell phone users don't come close to needing unlimited minutes and are paying too much for that service. So you need to examine how much you're using it a month and add about 10% extra time to play it safe, and then find a plan that's closer to your actual use on your phone. Also ask about unadvertised rates. Now, you might be on the lowest plan, but there may be a plan that has more minutes that would be available for you to use. Cell phone providers often offer unadvertised plans, and to get the savings, all you have to do is ask. That is something that is often applied to telephone service and to many other services. You know the old adage, if you don't ask, you don't get? Well, that is the case. Contact your company's customer service, and the representative will let you know about the available contracts that you may not see listed online, and you may find another plan that could slash your bill up to 25%. Lastly, you can sign up for a family plan. You don't have to have a family. Family plans often are a very good deal. You can just gather up some friends that you call frequently and sign them up to get your family savings. And that can save you a whole bunch of penny, nickel, dimes, quarters, and dollars. Well, that is just a little bit that I'm going to share with you. This is Donna Siebel. I know we're going to be going on break pretty soon. Put yourself together, or put together for yourself, get my words in the proper order, a pad of paper and a pen. I have got a wonderful recipe. Ah, yes. It is going to be for pork chops with balsamic strawberry sauce. Do you like strawberries? Ooh, they're so delicious right now. Pork chops? Mm-hmm. One of my favorite meats. Okay, we'll be coming back with that recipe, too, when we come back. Again, the number to call in if you'd like to chat is 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Siebel's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Siebel's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Siebel and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call if you'd like to chat with me. Okay, pork chops with balsamic strawberry sauce. The strawberries this time of the year, absolutely awesome. And I have a little bit of additional information about strawberries that I'll tell you about before I give you the recipe. I was sent a video about strawberries, and maybe you've gotten this too. A friend sent it to me because she knows how I enjoy cooking, and like so many of us, we're always out there. This is the time of the year for fresh fruit, right? You've got your peaches, your plums, your strawberries. Oh, there's just so many wonderful fruits out there. Well, strawberries, typically, I was born and raised in California, and California, I lived there for so long, and we'd just go up to the Santa Barbara area, and we could get strawberries that were right out of the field. It was just wonderful. And they're delicious. But do you know that there are little worms that if you don't wash strawberries, you need to wash them? And I know I've been out there in the fields and just, you know, pop them in my mouth. But usually you pull the green off of the strawberry. Well, there was a movie that was sent around, information. Be sure you rinse your strawberries thoroughly, because there are these little tiny white worms. You can see them, but they're very, very tiny. So if you pull off the green, or if you don't want to because you're dipping strawberries or something else, just make sure that you lift that green portion back, rinse your strawberries thoroughly, and they won't be there. But that is something that they were cautioning people about. Be aware that there are these worms that sometimes will, not sometimes, they will frequently visit strawberries. That's just nature in action. So you want to do just like you do with anything else. You just want to rinse them. They're delicate. You don't want to soak them in water. You just want to rinse them. You don't want to use a heavy brush and pull back that green, the stem, so that you can see that there's nothing that's crawling around there trying to find its home, because I don't think you want to eat it. But anyway, let's get to the pork chops with balsamic strawberry sauce. Now, what gives this an extra kick of flavor is balsamic vinegar, a little Italian seasoning, and a touch of strawberry jam. Here we go. You're going to need 1/3 cup of white wine, and make sure it's a wine that you really like. Taste it, before you use it in the recipe. And that will make a difference. Or chicken broth. Again, your taste with wine is what determines whether or not you use it with this recipe. And you're going to need a quarter of a cup of white balsamic vinegar. A quarter of a cup of white balsamic vinegar. Why it should be white is so that it won't stain the strawberries. The white balsamic vinegar. Okay, and a quarter of a cup of strawberry jam, quarter of a cup of strawberry jam, and 3/4 teaspoon of dried Italian seasoning. You may want to add a little bit more. If you fix the recipe once, you might find you want the seasonings a little stronger. 3/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, 3/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, and then you're going to want 4 pork loin chops. And they should be about 1 inch thick. It's going to be about 2 pounds. You can make them a little thinner if you wanted to. It all depends on how big a serving you want to make. But about 1 inch thick is really nice. Then you're going to need about 1 tablespoon of oil and then 8 ounces of strawberries trimmed, quartered. And it'll come to about 1.5 cups. I like to take strawberries, especially if they've got a strong, pithy center. Sometimes they're picked a little bit earlier than they should be. And you have this white center. I cut that out because that just doesn't taste good, at least to me. So just a suggestion. Then about 4 cups of baby spinach. It's about 3 ounces for that. Now this is what you need to do. You whisk together, this is how simple it is, your wine, your vinegar, and your strawberry jam. Put that aside, and it's in a small bowl. Then you take your Italian seasoning, your garlic powder, your salt, and pepper. Mix that together. It'll take you all of 5 seconds. And then rub it into your meat. And on a large nonstick skillet, you heat the oil over medium-high heat. Then you add your chops. You cook. You only want to turn them once, but you want to cook them until they've got this nice, crusty, golden brown look to them. Turn them over, and you want to cook it until it's no longer pink. I like loin chops without the bone. If you like the bone, that's great. I don't care. But either way, it's fine. But you do want to make sure that you have got a nice golden tone on both sides. Now, it takes about 7 minutes aside when you're cooking it, and it'll cook very, very well. Then you want to transfer your chops to a plate, cover with foil, and you keep it warm. Now, the pork should be fairly well, that is going to be cooked. Your pork, if you do it about 7 minutes on each side, it will totally cook that pork chop. If you're concerned, add another minute to it. If you want, just put the sharp tip of a paring knife in the middle of the meat and see if there's any juices running out. And if you don't want those juices, then just cook it a little bit longer. Now, in that same skillet, once those chops are fixed and you've put them on the platter and you've covered them, they're going to continue to cook, by the way. They are. They're really going to cook it up nicely. You want to put into that hot skillet that has all of those nice dripping pieces, you want to add the wine mixture that you have previously mixed together, bring it to a boil, and you stir it, stirring occasionally until it starts to thicken. And that's going to take all of 4 to 5 minutes. And then you take it off the heat, stir in your strawberries. You're not cooking your strawberries. You are just putting them into this nice hot sauce. And then what you want to do, you have a serving platter that you're going to serve this meat on. You put the spinach over on the serving platter, top the pork chops, or put the pork chops on top, and then pour the strawberries and the mixture over, and you serve it. Delicious. Absolutely wonderful. And it's a perfect meal for a summer evening. Absolutely delightful. And you could have a nice salad to go with it. There's just so many things that you can do. But that is a delicious and different way of working with strawberries. So I wanted to share that with you. I know we're almost finished with time. If you wanted to give me a call, we could do a short reading if that was what you'd like to do, 888-815-9756. But let me pass some information along to you about using passwords. Because of having my banking account compromised by some hacker through the Internet, and all of you listening are very savvy about the Internet, I wanted to share with you some additional information. I know I talked with you about what I had experienced on Tuesday. Now, security experts are saying the best passwords are a combination of numbers, letters, and symbols. But sometimes trying to remember all of them is a real challenge. So this is what they suggest. Simply pick a word that's easy to remember and shift your fingers to the right one key as you type. In other words, The simple move turns easy passwords like Cooper Cat into more complicated ones like VIPs. It's VPP, and it's got something else. It ends up being really wild and crazy. Your private information will stay private. So there are ways that you can pick something. I know of a man who chose a password, and he converted the entire thing into numbers. And nobody in God's world would ever figure this one out, as far as I was concerned. It worked. It worked. And it's very secure. So just remember that. You've got to keep that password safe. And don't forget, if you're going to do banking, don't use search engines. Go to that address section right up at the top of your screen, and you'll see there's a little lock that'll show you that your access to your banking website is secure. This is Donna Siebel. An awesome weekend awaits you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a terrific day. Summer is here. Woo! I'm ready. How about you? Enjoy. I'll be talking with you Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.